Let me invite you to take your Bibles and open them to Ephesians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I just want to say that this is so touching to our family to see so many old, dear friends that are here tonight. It's been said that the two hardest things to say in life are hello for the first time and goodbye for the last time. But we're not saying goodbye for the last time because Christians never, ever have to say that. And besides that, we're sticking around this community. I feel a little bit like Churchill when on one occasion he stood before a large crowd and someone asked him, they said, doesn't it make you just feel wonderful to see all these people who are gathered here to hear you speak? And he said, no. He said, if I was being hanged, there would be three times this many. In March of 1985, the dream of two small congregations here in the Springfield area were realized with the merger of Scenic and Weaver and Broadway and Madison. The next year, 1986, this auditorium was built and the first of several classrooms and meeting rooms were constructed. John Alley and Dave Dallin were instrumental in bringing about that merger. And they served as the first two ministers, followed by Bruce Potter, who was here for a few years. Tonight, we have some of those members who were here day one, who are still part of this congregation, and some who've gone out to the church plants. Let me just ask, all of those who were either part of Scenic and Weaver or Broadway and Madison, would you just stand tonight? These are the originals. The very first ones who gathered here back in 1986 as this church had its beginning. Thus began the Sunset family. This church was 7 years old when my family first stepped through those doors. And God blessed us richly. We had three young girls who would grow up in this congregation. And this church was blessed with growth, and we stretched out both ways in the auditorium and added on several times to make more classroom expansion. And we began doing wonderful things together. We had our very first trip to Mexico in 1994, and so many of you took part in those Mexico campaigns over the years that would follow. It was in 1994 that we had our first youth minister intern. He wasn't a youth minister, he was just a summer intern, and that was Sean Hudkins who came. And we were also pleased with what Sean did that summer, that the elders offered him a job and he became our first full-time youth minister. He would be followed by a series of youth ministers. Ryan Wright would come, and Tony Gentry. Tony stuck around here for a while. Jeremy Llewellyn, Bryce Kidwell, and now Chris Livingston is serving in that capacity. At the end of 2000, Steve and Amy Martin came to join us. We have pictures out there on the land where Union Hill building is now of them. And Abe, you were not even here yet. That was a great, great day. Dwight came on board in 2002, and boy, he dressed up the parking lot with this series of nice vehicles. What would we ever have done without Dwight and Carrie and those boys? And you remember Tyler when he for the first time stood before us and led a song, and we had to put him on a Coke crate to get him tall enough to see over the podium. That's something that the Samuels do not struggle with any longer. At the end of 2005, Tony transitioned from youth minister, and he and Jonna headed out with the next church plant, the second plant. Then in 2011, it was a big year. We had seen the tremendous success down at Union Hill. And I've said this to them on many occasions. Had that not been the success that it was, we would probably have never planted another congregation in this area. And so we'll forever be gratefully eternal to that group of people, those pioneers who went out as part of that church plant. In 2011, it was a big year because that was the year that Minor and Anielka Perez came and began their work here with the Spanish group in the city. The third church plant also took place later that year, and Willard and a group went out to be part of that. And then in 2012, Sean came to begin our campus ministry. And through all these years, I have been blessed incredibly with the people God has brought in here as part of our staff and in close working relationships with those. And I look back through the years and I thank God for people like Karen Robinson and for the Foster family who kept this building fosterized for years. And for the Morrises and the Strigics and now for the Burrises and their willingness to stay late when people want to visit and get here early to be sure everything is taken care of. And then, of course, the great secretaries. Most of you don't know who really runs this church. It's the secretaries. And we are so grateful to Barbara and to Kathy for the sacrifices they make continually. And I just think back before them, even Karen Lofton and Melanie Giles, now Hornbuckle, and the work that many subs have done through the years who've helped us out during these times. Now, it's been my privilege during these years to also have worked under the oversight of now, it's been three basically different groups of shepherds who have served this congregation. And I am so grateful for the foundations that were laid in those early days just recently as our current elders stood before this congregation. They paid tribute to those very first men. When I got here, there were five of them. Those very first men who established the pattern of financial responsibility that has allowed us as a congregation to stay out of debt and to pay cash as we went, and has allowed us to do the things we've done by way of church planting, and we'll forever be grateful for what those first elders did. Now, I've just mentioned the ones that I worked alongside day in and day out. I can also count many of you in this congregation who are very dear friends, who I've worked with in various ministries in this congregation and shared time with. And as I look back over these last almost 25 years, I just ask myself, how were we, Vicki and I, so fortunate to be part of this great church family? Well, we've come to a transition time in our life, and I have no intention of leaving the ministry. I'm just leaving full-time preaching, and we hope and pray to have another fruitful season in our life, and part of it's going to involve some of these little guys sitting down front here, and we hope to be involved in some missions, and I'll have speaking opportunities around here. We do plan for the sake of the new man when he gets here. Having been here for so many years, I feel the need to step away from the congregation here at Sunset, and so for the next year, we'll not be attending here because I want him to be able to get his feet on the ground firmly and for you to establish a strong relationship with him. And at the end of a year, we're going to be praying and seeking God's will and direction in our life. We're going to be in our same house in the same neighborhood. We'll be right here and we'll be running into you folks all the time, I'm sure. But we're going to seek God's will as to where we can best be utilized as we begin the next chapter of our life. And I want to just say to you, too, this church gets most of the credit for anything good that I have done. Churches can either make a preacher or break a preacher. And this church, with the love you have shown and the support you have offered and just the warmth and kindness that have been hallmarks of this congregation, the generosity of this church, you have made it easy for me to do what I believe God would have me do. And the same will be true with this new man. I hope that you will make him into a great preacher through your encouragement and your help and all the ways that you did for me. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, where you've opened your Bibles, Paul has prayed an amazing prayer for the church in Ephesus. And I could almost echo every word he said for this church here. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning down in verse 20, he closes his prayer with these words. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Earlier in that prayer, he had already asked that God strengthen these Christians through the Holy Spirit. He prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts. He prayed that they might be rooted in a deep love for one another. He prayed that they might be filled with the fullness of God. These are the kind of prayers we need to be praying for each other. Prayers of spiritual strength for each other. But now in this doxology at the end, he piles superlative upon superlative. He uses two Greek words, and both of them express the highest degree possible. He joins them together. They're not words that could be joined together ordinarily, but he puts these two words together. It's like saying, you know, the greatest best or the most extraordinary superlative. And it's hard to translate. The King James Version uses the words exceeding abundantly. The Revised Standard says far more abundantly. The NIV says immeasurably more than all we ask or think. That was his prayer. God, do immeasurably more than all that we ask or think. And I just look at this congregation, the goals that were recently placed before this church by our elders, and I just dream of what we can be individually and what this church and what Union Hill and Brookline and Willard and the next church plant down in Clever and what our Hispanic congregation and all God's people in this city and area, what we can be. We add to all of our plans and all of our thoughts imagination. That's what Paul goes to. He says, add your imagination to the equation and God can even surpass that. What is the greatest, the grandest, the wildest thing that you can imagine God doing in your life in whatever time you have left? I tell you, I can think of some things. I can think of some things that this congregation is on the verge of beginning right now. And it makes me excited to see the possibilities that are yet before us. Paul says that God is not limited by our capabilities. We just need to ask bigger things. God is not limited by the creative ability of the human mind, although we have some tremendously talented people. I'm so grateful for what is taking place among our classrooms in this congregation and the curriculum and the teachers and some wonderful things that are laying a groundwork for lives that will be lived to the glory of God. God can do more upon more upon more than anything we can plan for or dream of. Exceeding abundantly, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And he does it not because of us, but because of him, through his power that is at work within us. In order for God to accomplish great things, we must constantly look to him as our source of strength. He is the one who ultimately gets all the credit. We sang, to God be the glory, both this morning and tonight. And there are never truer words that we have ever sung. In Psalm 44, down in verse 3, the psalmist says, it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them. And then he goes on down in verse 6 and says, I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long. The psalmist recognized where true victory lay. I don't know about you, but I have dreams that are yet unfulfilled for this congregation in my own life. And there is one surpassing desire that I have. I want to be used by God more than anything else in the world. That's how I want to finish. That's the hill upon which I want to die. I want to be used by God. I want to be a servant of His for as long as there is life in my body. And I have prayers and hopes for the future of this congregation. My dream is for not only Sunset, but the churches represented here, to continue to be congregations of God's people, families of believers that are exciting and vibrant and alive, where worship is poured out before God in adoration and meaningful praise. Where children love to come, not because they're made to come, but because they want to come. Where love is both obvious and contagious. In churches that are growing and reproducing. That's the natural way. That's the God-intended way. In churches that are making a difference in our community and doing it all to the glory and to the praise of God. Those are the kind of churches that I hope to see and expect to see in the days to come. No, God is capable of surpassing our wildest dreams. And I want to close tonight by offering a prayer for this church family, for the days to come. And I ask you to bow with me as we pray at this time. Father, you have done amazing things here and in area congregations and in lives of people who have done amazing things to your glory and your honor. And Father, our prayer tonight, my prayer tonight for Sunset, is that you will do immeasurably more than all we can even ask or imagine in the days to come. Father, bless this family. Bless these churches. And Father, thank you for what you have done in giving us the victory. Father, we give all glory to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.